Welcome to Season 3 of The Broken Banquet. Ashley's settled in Houston. I'm still in Costa Rica. But we're both really excited about bringing you more conversations about missions. We hope you'll enjoy this episode. Ashley.
Hello, Will.
How are you? I haven't seen you in like 15 minutes.
It has been a long time. Thank you for the opportunity to have a little break and to just come right on in.
Yeah. And find chocolate. You found chocolate.
And find chocolate. I needed chocolate in my life. You know, sometimes you just need that little burst of energy to get you through the end of the morning right before you know that almuerzo is coming. Lunch is coming.
Yeah, and I haven't had breakfast, so I really didn't need to see that big pile of chocolate you just walked into your office with.
Sorry.
You know, it's not your fault.
Snickers. It does a body good. Is that the tagline for it?
Tell it, no.
Milk. It does
milk,
a body good.
Ashley, milk and Snickers are almost the same thing, Ashley.
Thank you.
One of these days, you'll be able to teleport that right through the computer screen, and I can enjoy the Snickers with you.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right.
So what's up?
You know, it's been good. We've had a good string of traveling here as of late. In the last episode, you got to tell me about your travels, and in this episode, I'll tell you about mine. So yeah, we went down to Ecuador, saw our friend Matt Kiefer and the Cumbre Alta Football League. So that was really good. And it was the first time I've led a mission trip in a while, you know, with COVID and everything that happened with the move. Like, it's just been a while since I had led an actual trip, like with participants and, you know, did the devotions and the trip planning and all the things. And so it was nice to get back on the horse, in the saddle, on the horse. Yep. And go to it. So we had a really good week.
At least always consistent with your mixed metaphors. Like, you keep using the same ones over and over again, which is good. Eventually people are just going to accept that as the norm. That is the metaphor because Ashley insisted on it. But I'm glad you're back on the saddle, in the horse, or whatever.
Right on. Right on. Yeah. And then I turned right around and went right to Turkey. And so I was there for a few. Oh, actually, you know what? Before I did that, I went to Romania. Went to Romania, saw our friend Stefania.
As one does between trips to Ecuador and Turkey.
Well, if you're that close, like, I was flying in and out of Istanbul. So if I was that close, I had to stop through Romania and see our friend Stefania. And it was so good. We got to abide. Good. All we did was just sit together and we ate things. We ate chocolate. We ate crepes. We had Nutella. We had coffee. It was all the good things. And just got to be together for a few days. And then I went to
Nutella massages. This time
there were no Nutella massages. However, I did go to Turkey, and of course, you know, everybody was like, oh, we have a nice hotel, we're staying, it has a spa in it, you should go get a massage, take a Turkish bath, Ashley. And I was like, no, after the last one with the Nutella, not gonna do that, not doing it. But no, it was a good trip to Turkey. I went with another friend of ours, Rifat Ferig, and who y'all heard from earlier this season. And we had a good visit together. I tell you, I was preaching one Sunday. It was the pastor of the church was a Syrian refugee. Most of the people at the church were Syrian refugees. Many also were Iraqi. And so I was preaching in English, and then Rifat would translate it to Arabic. And then there was a Turkish interpreter, there was a Pashto interpreter, and there was a Farsi interpreter. So it sounded like Pentecost. I think
I was gonna say, that sounds a lot like Pentecost. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, so that was good. Yeah, so lots of good. Met new people, traveled the world, saw some things. But you know what, I'm really excited to introduce you to our guest today.
I'm glad we got to that because I think I was starting to see a little bit of concern on his face, I think.
Sometimes I tell stories and I get excited and I forget that we also have a guest on the episode. So this is good. But Will,
speaking of new friends.
New friends right here. This is my friend Luciano. Luciano and I met, we met in person finally in June, but before that we had been on Zoom together for about a year and a half, meeting and chatting, and he is currently in Panama. And so you all can go down the greetings in Spanish, but his native tongue is Portuguese because he is originally from Brazil. So we'll get into his story, but Luciano, meet my friend Will. Will, meet my friend Luciano.
Hello, Luciano. Bienvenido de nuevo.
Hello, Will. Nice to meet you.
So the other day, we were having an international ministries partnership training. And Luciano came on Zoom to give his greetings, just give hello to the participants. And it was so, so wonderful. And at the end, I asked him to pray over us and he prayed in English. And I expected this wonderfully passionate prayer in Spanish, but I'm so proud of him for stepping out in confidence and praying in English. So it was just great.
Well, welcome. Glad you're here. Can't wait to hear more about what you are doing and what you and Ashley are doing together.
Okay. Are you speaking English or Spanish? What do you prepare? What do you understand?
Let's go with English. Okay. And we'll see what happens. If we come into any little part that we need to move over to Spanish, we can do it.
Okay. That's because okay. I will be very comfortable if I can speak in Portuguese.
I'm not sure how good that would be for our listeners. I had to check the map lately to see if we're growing with our listenership in Brazil and what else, Mozambique, in Portugal. So let's give English a shot.
Okay, perfect.
Luciano, why don't you just start off by telling us a little of your story? How did Jesus find you?
Very good question. How Jesus find me? So I grew up in one very small city in Brazil. I was from one family, very dysfunctional family. And when I was a teenager, I was in the world. I have many bad customs. But one friend invited me to be part of one small group in the Methodist Church that in my city. And I started attend that small group. But in 1 year, I was in that small group, but I didn't have any relationship with Jesus. Until one day, they invited me to be part of one very big meeting, revival meeting. And some people from the States, preachers, they were there in that meeting. And someone started praying for me, and I had my encounter with Jesus in that time. I fell down on the floor. When I wake up, I felt like the heaven was open for me, and the Holy Spirit filled me. And I started praying for the people in that meeting, and they started receiving the same experience that I received. And I have had I was sure that God called me in that specific time to do his work. But I didn't know idea how. And I continue attending that church. Pastor started disciple me. And in 5 years, I was studying the seminary. And I started preaching the church, and I started with small groups, and God confirmed my ministry. And in after 4 years of theology studies, I assumed my first church appointment. And the bishop of my conference in that time, he appointed me for the same church that I have had my encounter with Christ. So in my
That's awesome.
It was a very hard, the same time, responsibility, because many people, they knew me when I was a child, when I was a teenager. They knew my history.
Yeah.
But God did many things there. I learned a lot with that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I never felt like I will be just pastor in one church. I felt that I need to plant another church beside of that church. And mm-hmm. I started a new church in one very poor community close to my church, and small groups. And after that, after 3 years, the bishop moved me to another church. I built a new church. That church grew up a lot. I start another new church in another city close to that city. So all my time, 15 years that I was pastor in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
I was pastor in one church, but God used me to plant new churches around of that church that I was. And the same time, God called me to preach in many times, like itinerant ministry. So many times I was travel around of my city or my state, preaching another church, and God started use me a lot in the ministry of deliverance. And I could see many miracles, many people was blessing. And in 2009, I was in one church. That church started with 40 people, and in 4 years, that church grew up for 400 people. And we start two new churches from that church. I was very well, and I have very good comfort of life as a pastor. I could see many people baptizing. But God said, you need to go. You have to go. And I felt a call from God, because I visit Canada with one friend. And I felt that God called me to go as a missionary to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied my visa, everything. But my visa... They gave my visa, but they didn't give the visa to my daughter.
Hmm.
Because my daughter is special. Mm-hmm. And we blocked our planning to go to Canada.
Yeah.
And so in 2010, I was without appointment, without mm-hmm. any salary, any church. I was just waiting for my visa. And that time I started preaching in many churches. And I lived for 1 year just by offerings, spontaneous offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Really was a great time in our life.
Mm.
God bless us a lot. Because I travel across the Brazil in many states, many cities, by car, by flight, by bus, by many, many forms to travel. And God provide everything, and we bless many people around across the country. But in the end of that year, my bishop said that he had an opportunity to us to go to Peru as a missionary. But he didn't appoint us. He said, if you want to go, pray and talk with God and with your wife, because it's important, no?
Yes, so, very important.
Yes, I spoke with my wife, and I said many times, I thought, maybe my wife will say, no, Peru, no. We cannot go to Peru. Mm-hmm. It will be very hard. Because in that time, my daughter, she couldn't to speak any language in that time, but because her problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with my wife, and she said, yes, what Jesus will respond? I said, wow, we need to go. We have to go. So, and we accepted that challenge. In 2011, we start our mission trip for Peru, through Peru. So we start living in Lima. And from Lima, I travel across Peru, preaching on the mountains to the Quechuas and Aymaras. And I did many meetings, discipleship meetings with that communities, and I preached to them. I organized churches and events about mission. So God used us a lot in that time in Peru and blessed us a lot. So, yeah. But I was an elder from Brazil. In Peru, in that time, I was a missionary, so I need to change all my mentality, my mindset, to be a cross-cultural mission.
Mm-hmm.
So in that time, I start my relationship with TMS Global. In that time, it was the mission society. No?
Mm-hmm.
So I did one training. I participated in one training about cross-cultural mission. And I learned Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
My wife learned Spanish. My daughter started speak Spanish.
Okay.
And in 4 years, God bless us a lot in that country. I love Peru. I love Peruvian food. I love that culture. And the Methodist Church invited us to be general secretary in one organization, the name CMAL. So I was elected for that organization for 10 years. And I moved to Panama in that time because Panama was more a strategic place to do my work because I needed to travel across the continent, Latin America and Caribbean. But this decision, I prayed, the bishop in that time here invited me. And I spoke with my bishop in Brazil and my leaders, partners in CMAL, and they approved that. And I see that Panama was a very strategic place. But in my mind, I thought, I will be in Panama for 3 years, just for 3 years. But I am here for 11 years already. So when I arrived in Panama, I visit the Bio Museum, and I see that the Panama is a very strategic place because here many or thousands or millions of birds, they come here to feed here and to reproduce, and after that they leave.
Mm.
So it's a natural hub. So God showed me this movement.
So I have a question before we get into what you all are doing together. I'm curious, you mentioned something about you having to change your mindset to being a cross-cultural missionary. We've talked about that a lot. We've talked about some books that are really helpful at people working through that. But Ashley and I are usually thinking about cross-cultural missional relationships in terms of people from the United States of America engaging with people from somewhere else in the world. I'm curious to know what your perspective as a Brazilian preparing to go into ministry in Peru, which, you know, geographically maybe not so far away, but what are some of those cultural things that you needed to prepare for that were different? That you and your family were going to experience?
Very good question, brother. Because in my little understanding in that time, I thought, we are in the South America, in the same continent, it would be very easy for me to be there in Peru to preach. Yes, I will use my strategies as a good pastors and planted church in Brazil, and everything will work very well in my mind at that time. But I could see it's like a moon from the distance of Brazil, Peru. The culture is very, very, very different. And people, the language, obviously, but the culture, it's very different. And all the things that I know about planting shorts and mission, I need to change. I need to adapt it, my things to that new culture, and to learn from them, to be humble, to listen to them, to see how the God was working in middle of them. So many I got many frustration in the first years. For example, I stay for 1 year seeking food like Brazilian food. I never found any food similar. I adapted my life to that new culture, and I learned that we cannot put our own culture in that culture. Many things that I believe it are from my culture, not from the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I say, for example, I received one group one day in one meeting on the mountains, one group from Brazil. I was learning, but they didn't. They were there the first time. And the group from Peru, the Quechua women, they were preparing food for us, no? Mm-hmm. And the Brazilian group said, we will help them. For the next day, we will cook for them. And they prepare food like in Brazil. But they miss it that they were on the top of the mountains. And you know, in the high place, the things work very different. The air works very different. I don't know in English how you can say that.
Well, the air pressure at high altitudes affects things like when water boils or when yeast will rise. So, yeah, you can't cook at, 15,000 feet the same way you cook at sea level.
Yes, right. Right. It's exactly, brother. So they were very happy that we are preparing food for them. They cleaned the kitchen. They did like in Brazil. Exactly. But the food was the most worst food that I ate of my life. And the Quechua asked me, Pastor, it is the food that you eat in Brazil? I said, no.
Actually, no, it's not, but.
So we learned from that experience. No, we cannot, how do you say, imponer in English?
Impose.
Impose our things, our culture to another culture. We need to learn because many, many things is not the gospel, it's our things. So we are very ethnocentric, really. No, mm-hmm. We need to learn. So I didn't know idea about that in that time. I learned a lot, and God bless us with this. So Peru was a school of mission for us.
Yeah.
Well, and that's such a good example. I mean, it's food. I mean, they messed up a meal. That's not a big deal. But the fact of the matter is, it's the mentality behind the meal that's the issue, right? And instead of coming in from a posture of humility and learning, coming into any environment where you're a guest with a mentality of we're going to do things our way, even if it's trying to bless the community, but it's still, you've skipped a step. You haven't taken the time first to establish the kind of healthy relationship that can avoid those sort of uncomfortable moments. Because I almost wanted to follow up your example by saying, okay, so how about like a church-related example? But that is a church-related example, because if that's the mentality of this is how we're going to approach meals together, well, my guess is that same group probably took that same approach into a worship service. And, mm-hmm. you know, those are groups who maybe instead of fully embracing the way that the community plays music or sing songs or prays together, are going to come in with, we're going to show you how we do it, which is mm-hmm. that it's just the worst kind of mission mentality to have. So thank you for that example.
Yes. And after that, they invited me many times to be with them in their community. So they are very, very kind people.
They were probably just worried that you were eating really bad food all the time. So they invited you back so you could eat good food.
No. So, no, this group from Brazil, I teach them after that. I say, look, you need to... I say to them, it's okay. Some things like this can happen. It's the reason because you are here to learn, you know? Mm. To learn. So they could learn and they could say sorry about that. And they left to Brazil with this lesson. And so God bless us. So in Peru, I learned and I start travel across the Latin America from that new ministry. For 10 years, I travel across the Latin America and I could see many different cultures and I needed to learn how they were working and how I could approach to them. And I think we training in 10 years more than 2,000 people, leaders across
the continent.
Wow. Yes. And I finished my term and for different reasons, I didn't accept to continue in that post because I was organizing to be part of the Global Methodist Church since 2019. But I could see that the vision of God still continued.
Luciano, that's a great segue into our relationship of you and the Global Methodist Church and in Panama. So I wear two hats. One hat is the mission pastor at the Woodlands Methodist Church. And another hat is that I am the International Ministries Chairperson for the Trinity Conference of the Global Methodist Church.
Actually, I don't think I've ever seen you wear a hat. And I'm really curious. I would like to see you actually wear a hat sometime. So maybe for our next Broken Banquet interview days, if you would just pick a hat, please.
Absolutely. Juan Bravo. I had breakfast with Juan Bravo a couple of days ago. Yeah, a couple of days ago. And he gave me a Connectar Global hat. And I put it on and he thought it was the funniest thing ever. So definitely I will try to wear a hat for you soon. Okay.
Okay. And now let's go back to the figurative hats that you wear.
The figurative hats. So, in my role as the International Ministries Chairperson for the Trinity Conference of the Global Methodist Church, we as a conference have a couple of different international partnerships. Their hope is that every U.S.-based conference will have at least one, maybe two, maybe three, perhaps four partnerships, connections with a majority world conference. So our first was with Upendo Laikondi, the conference superintendent in Tanzania. Our second one was with Luciano Pereira of Panama. Our third one may end up being Peter Pereira, who you all have heard from before. You met Will on one of our podcasts in the South Asia area. And so we're pretty excited about how all of these relationships have come together. Just like we've talked about so often of a country, you can't do the same thing in one country as you do in another country because cross-culturally we're all different. Each of these relationships have ended up being so different. And so I've loved our time with Luciano. I call him, he has an apostolic heart. And so I call him a modern day Paul. I think that he preaches with passion. He tells us the things we need to hear. And he has a church planting heart of seeing where God is raising up leaders and seeing where God is putting a new church. And so as I made the transition over to the Woodlands Methodist Church too, I got to know him on a different level because one of our pastors, Jeff Olive, who was our pastor of church multiplication, had also been working with Luciano in developing church planter curriculum, church planter training, and looking at how a church planting, a Spanish or Central and South American hub could take place, be planted there in Panama with Luciano as the point person, and how could we deploy church planters from Panama to Central and South America. And so that has been part of our mission and church multiplication journey here at the Woodlands. So I get to wear not only one hat with Luciano, but then another hat with Luciano. And we just had a Jeff Olive and John Robert Black and a few others just got back from Panama this week and said that they had the best time. So now that I've said that, Luciano, do you want to describe your two hats? Because you wear both of these hats too, of a conference superintendent in the Global Methodist Church, and then also with your work as church planter trainer in your partnership with the Woodlands.
Yes, yes. Really, I never thought I will want to be a superintendent of the conference. Never I thought something like this. But the only thing that God said me, it's God spoke with me 17 years ago when I was preparing to go to Canada, that one day I will be in one place. And from that place, I will train people and send people to plant church across around the world. But I thought this, it's from my mind, is how when young pastor from one small seat in Brazil will do that. Maybe it's too much big for me in that time. But I could see that all this experience, renounces that I did are preparing me just for this time right now. And I accepted to start, I start the new church here from my house, one small group 2 years and a half ago with 8 people. And I start the relationship with Kit Boyett from the Global Methodist Church. And he and another pastors from the Global Methodist Church from that time, from the Wesleyan Covenant, no? They empower me and they say, you can start, you can go ahead to plant that church. And I see that I have had the opportunity to plant new church. And I see that through the Global Methodist Church, I will be able to do the vision that God gave me many years ago. So the global was facilitate the vision. So I love that because I understand that our institution, denominations, God wants to use the denomination to facilitate the kingdom and to be this instrument for the kingdom of God. So I receive all the support to start and the church start multiply here. So right now I have 7 groups, 7 small churches across the country. And these churches are growing. I am baptizing new believers. But in the same time, I say I cannot stop training because it is my heart to train and to send. Because from 2022, when I finished my term in CMR, like I said, I was like, I didn't have any job. And I founded here as a movement to continue training people. And God bless us a lot because we mobilized people. In that time, we sent a family to Jordan, a couple to India, another couple to Dominican Republic. So God was confirmed that I need to continue this plan. And the Methodist Church, the Global Methodist Church, officialized the Global Methodist Church in Panama, and they appointed me like a superintendent. And I see, I don't know if I will continue training people, because I need the Global Methodist Church need allowed me to do that. Mm-hmm. And I started this connection with the Woodland Church, with Jeff Oliver, with Ashley. They have the same vision to train people, to plant new churches, to spread the gospel, and to spread the kingdom of God across the world. So I say, it's the same vision, and God is confirming that I can be superintendent to continue my work and strengthen this church here. In the same time, start this training, mobilizing people to spread the gospel and to plant new churches across Latin America and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So we start this year our first meeting. In the same time, the Global Methodist Church appointed me to be part of the Kingdom Advanced Commission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this commission just worked about that, about training and spread the church across the world. So I say, God is confirmed again. The vision is from Him. The form that He is working is different, but the vision is the same.
Luciano, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about just locally in Panama, what church life looks like right now. Is it easy to be a part of the church? I'm wondering if it's similar to what it's like where I am in Costa Rica, since we're next door neighbors. But I'd love to hear from you. You know, what's the hardest part about raising up church leaders and planting new churches in Panama?
Always God put in my heart, I need to train Panamanian leaders. I am not owner of this church here. My purpose is to train them and send them, and they can assume the leadership of this church. It's my heart. I don't want to be a leader always here as an owner, no. But I can say, I am Brazilian, brother. My culture is very different to the Spanish culture. Very, very different. So I suffered a lot to adapt my style of life. And maybe they are suffering more than me, no? To adapt to me, no? Maybe. But the most hard work is pass to them the DNA of this vision.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That they can go forward. In Panama, we have the majority of people here, they are from Catholic church, and we have 20% of evangelicals, mm-hmm. and 10% from other religions, but the majority of Christians here, they are nominals.
Okay.
And we have a lot, how to say, is a syncretism. It's a very syncretist country and very secular as well.
Mm-hmm.
So to plant churches here is not easy, because they are very secular. Everybody is working, and they need to work in two or three jobs to get more money. Mm-hmm. But God is blessing, and the community is growing, and we are starting new. And across the country, because our vision is not to have one big church or mega church.
Mm-hmm.
It's to have many small or medium churches across the country. If we can have 200 churches with 50 or 100 people in each province and community, in Panama will be great. So we don't want to have a mega church in small in big cities. We want to have strong churches in big cities. That strong church can support small churches across the country. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in base of discipleship, houses of peace, small groups, prayer meetings, and it's our fundamental. Prayer meetings, a small group, house of peace. So I am training them. I am very busy because I need to travel across the country to serve in the communion, to the new communities. And I need to train them, and they come here to the capital, and I travel to their cities, and I am baptizing people and visiting houses. And yes, but God is blessing, and we are happy because never I thought I will be a conferencist to talk about something that I am not doing.
One thing I've appreciated about you, Luciano, is how you've always stayed true to the vision that God has given you. And you know what vision and what passion God has put on your heart. And you have always led with that, and you want to be obedient to that calling. I would love to hear, and not to toot the horn of the Trinity Annual Conference or the Woodlands Methodist Church, but we have entered into this covenant relationship between our conferences, and we've entered into this partnership with the Woodlands. Can you talk a little bit about what partnership looks like for you? What does that look like for you on between our two, as we wear our two hats?
I love to talk about this history because was all these things in base of miracle, in base of the power of God. Mm-hmm. Because I participate in 2023, in one meeting in Pittsburgh, and I met one pastor, the name Eliseo Mejia. This pastor prayed for us and prayed for me and prayed for Panama. And in that year, I was participating in the Beyond the Walls meeting.
Mm-hmm. Beyond These Walls, Beyond wonderful thing that Will Bailey was supposed to be at this time and didn't come. So
yes, mm-hmm. And this Pastor Eliseo said, "You need to meet Pastor Jeff." No, he didn't say Pastor. He said, "You need to meet Jeff." Jeff Olive. So I went to talk with him, and Jeff opened his office without appointment. Mm-hmm. Received me. And I share with him my vision. Mm-hmm. In that, my English right now is not good, but in that time was worse. So I don't know what he understood, but maybe he could got the vision in my head. And I spoke with him about my vision. And after 3 months or 4 months, he sent me a message. And we start talking about Panama and this relationship. I did no idea that the Trinity Conference will be our partner. Never I planned something like this. Never I thought I will be partner with the Trinity Conference.
Yeah.
So when I could see that the Trinity Conference will be our partner, I say, oh my God. God is working. And I met Jason, I met Pastor John, and
John? Mm-hmm.
Pastor John Robert and Pastor John, I could say his surname.
John Thornsberry.
John Thornsberry. And Pastor John Robert Black called me. He said that I don't know who gave me your phone number. But he called me. I was in one meeting here in Panama, and he said, "Look, I listened from you. What do you want for the Methodist Church in Panama?" I said, "I want to have here the seminar, I went to training new pastors because I can see that we need that. This is very important for Panama, for church, because we don't have seminars here. We have, I think we have one seminar from the Assembly of God, maybe. And he asked me, which seminar are you thinking about? I said, I want Asbury Seminar. And after that small, I spoke with him 5 minutes. Yeah. And after that, in Costa Rica conference, the directors of Asbury was with me on the time of lunch. And they said, we have course for Panama. And things happen like this. And I am so thankful for, because God is putting the right people in our life. And I am not too smart to organize everything like this.
It's God. I know that. God could do that.
I know Asbury has been a very, very faithful partner of the Methodist Church of Costa Rica for decades. And I think it just makes perfect sense that they would come alongside Panama as well. So that's, I'm glad to hear that.
It's Steve Gober.
Yeah. So I met Steve Gober and he spoke with me, and I am so grateful for him as well. And I started talking with Jeff. In the same time, the brother Max Wilkins, because Max, I met him in TMS Global. He was a president of TMS Global for 10 years. And this good friend who worked with me 10 years training people, he became a leader of planting church in the Global Methodist Church.
Yeah.
For the kingdom advancement.
Exactly.
And I said, wow. And he said, we need to continue our work, brother. So he appointed me to be part of the Kingdom Advancing. And I am part of the board of TMS as well. And I met Jeff. And Jeff, I could see Jeff's heart about that as well. Mm-hmm. And we start this conversation to mobilize people in Latin America, because my gift is to mobilize people. I can do that. And I have a lot of contact from that 10 years that I travel across the continent. So, and I know many people who want to go ahead in their mission across the continent. So in Resumen, we have had our first meeting this week, this past weekend. And we had 71 people from 10 countries in our first meeting here. And they were very interested to learn how they can start new church and how they continue their church and movement in their countries. And the majority of students were from Panama, but we have from Guatemala, El Salvador, Venezuela, Cuba, Brazil, so
Portugal,
to continue the vision in the vision of God. And the Trinity Conference are blessing us because they believe in us. I am so grateful for Jason, for the leadership from him, and so they present us in their conference, in their convening conference, no, in June.
Yep.
I'm surprised because I was there in one table and they received us officially. So
I'll link to that video in the show notes for the episode, because it was a beautiful, beautiful coming together of everything that God had planted in both of our lives, of bringing us together to the same table and saying, here's the relationship, here's how you're moving forward. And then this coming December, we'll get to do it again in Panama, where we'll sign a covenant, enter into a covenant relationship, and just see how God blesses this relationship as we move forward to plant seeds for the kingdom of God. So,
Ashley, I have a question. Do you have like a flow chart or something that we
yeah,
could also
sure do
how all these different organizations are connected and supporting one another? Because we've thrown out a lot of acronyms today.
Yes. Yeah. It's confusing even for me at times. I have to remember what hat I'm wearing where. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, maybe I need to get, you know, monogrammed hats for different things.
Right.
So,
right.
So that I can remember what I'm doing this for and what I'm doing this for. But, it's, you know, how we love connections, Will. We love connecting mm-hmm. people that we love to people we love. And so it's a beautiful way of connecting. We've been connecting. So.
Yes, and when the Trinity Conference approached me, actually started sending me messages, you know, Jeff and Jason and John. And I see it's normal the first time they did many questions. I tried to answer all the questions. But in my heart, I was very confident.
Mm-hmm.
I was very confident because I say, we are just servants of God. We are here to accomplish the purpose of God. So God is using all these things because he has a purpose. So right now I can see all the connections that God is doing. And I am so thankful. And I feel like a privilege to be part of this all mission that God is pushing us through this movement, no, that we are doing. So,
mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Amen. I'm so thankful God has brought you into my life, and I'm so thankful that you joined us today on the Broken Banquet podcast, so that my friend Will could meet my friend Luciano.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Thank you, Ashley.
Well, guys, I guess it's another episode of the Broken Banquet in the bag.
I was waiting to see what kind of metaphor you're going to use there. What did we do with this? What did we do with this episode? It's what? In the bag? On the box?
It's on the box. In the bag. It's a wrap.
Do you think that my English is in understandable?
Absolutely.
I think very much. Yep. Yeah. I think it was perfect.
Yeah. And actually, one of the things that I've loved about this season is that most of the people that we have interviewed don't talk exactly like Ashley and I. We've had people from all over the world who have been brave enough to do this with us. And I think it's fantastic that people are hearing about church work around the world from people who speak with accents. So thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Oh, it's
all right, guys. Good to see you, Will. Have a great
good
day.
Good to see you too, Ashley. Nice to meet you, Luciano.
Nice to meet you.
You've been listening to The Broken Banquet, a podcast by Will Bailey and Ashley Goad. Music provided by Irene and the Sleepers. Join us next week for another episode. He's prepared the table. All things are ready. Come to the feast.